A man is sitting in a small shelter. He's collecting money from a queue of people lined up in front of him. And as he sits there, a group of men walk past. One of that group turns aside and speaks to the man in the shelter. Two words: "Follow me." And he walks on again. And immediately the man in the shelter jumps up from his chair, leaves behind his ledger book and his money chest, and runs to catch up with the group of men. And the line of people waiting there are just completely flabbergasted. Two men are standing waist deep in a lake. They're throwing out a net and then they're dragging it back to the shore together and collecting the wriggling fish caught in its meshes. A figure walks down the beach and calls out to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." The two men wade quickly back to the shore, throw the net down on the ground, and walk after the man who shouted out to them, leaving the nets and their buckets of fish abandoned on the pebbles. They catch up with the man and start to walk along the shore with him. And as they walk along together, they come to a boat pulled up on the lakeside. There's three men sitting in this boat, and they're sewing, they're repairing the gashes in their nets from the last catch of fish out on the lake. And again, that first man calls out, and the two younger men sitting in the boat hop over the side and jog to meet the others. And their dad, left with the half-mended boats and the fishing, half-mended nets and the fishing boat, looks after them, wondering what's going on. Three short scenes from Matthew's Gospel. There's so few details. There's no explanations given. It's very stark. That one man, you know who it is, it's Jesus, speaks a brief phrase. Is that a command? Is it an invitation? Is it a request? And in that moment, five men each make what appear to be split-second decisions. Decisions which will change their lives forever and for all eternity. Well, on these three Sunday mornings, the last two and this morning, we've been trying to answer the single most important question in the world: what must I do to be saved? And we've seen that there's only one answer to that question. And yet the Bible gives that answer from various different angles to help you understand the answer better. And so far we've looked at two of those different angles. We've thought about what the Bible means when it tells us to believe in the Lord Jesus. And we've thought about what it means when we're told to repent. Well, this morning we're thinking about a third of those descriptions. What must I do to be saved? The answer we're given: you must follow Jesus. You must follow Jesus. So again, just as we have done in the last 2 weeks, we need to ask ourselves, well, what does that mean in practice? If the Bible tells us to follow Jesus, how do we do it? What does that mean? For those five men, Matthew and Simon and Andrew and James and John, it quite literally meant that they got on their feet and they walked after the Lord Jesus. But is that command to follow Jesus only for people who met him in the flesh, who lived in Israel in the first century? It's plainly impossible, isn't it, for any of us in 21st century Britain to actually walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus in that way? Well, no. that command to follow Jesus wasn't just for those men. Later, one of those men, Peter, wrote these words, and he wrote them to people who'd never met the Lord Jesus in the flesh. He wrote this. This is 1 Peter 2:20. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Similar way, Paul wrote this to the Christians in Rome. He said, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. It's Romans 15:5. So that command to follow Jesus is for everyone who wants to be a Christian. But if that following, for all those other people who didn't meet Jesus in the flesh, if it doesn't mean something literal, what does it mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Let's use an example to try and help us to understand it. Imagine for a minute an SAS squadron who've been sent on a secret mission, an important, vitally important mission. And there's only one man in that team who knows what the mission is, the leader. He's the one who knows what they're doing, where they're going. And he says to his men, follow me, do whatever I do, listen carefully to what I say, and the moment I say it, do it. Well, what are those men going to do? Well, every second they're on that mission, they are going to keep their eyes on that man. And whatever he does, wherever he goes, they are going to go. And they are going to keep their ears strained to hear his commands. And the moment he tells them to do anything, they will do it. They have to trust him totally. They know that their lives depend on him and his decisions. They don't make their own decisions. When the critical moment comes, when the strike is launched, they fight together, everyone doing what the commander tells them to do. Well, that's what following Jesus means. It means committing yourself to him completely. It means listening to his commands carefully and obeying them, whatever the consequences. It means allowing him to make every decision as to how you should live and speak. You trust him for everything. Well, if you think about that as a definition, you can see that that's just what we've been saying about what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? What it means to trust in the Lord Jesus. When you think about following, that description helps us to understand what it means to believe and trust Jesus. Think about it, what it actually meant for those disciples. Yes, they got up on their feet and they followed him literally. But then they had to trust him day by day. You know, those men left behind their livelihoods. They left behind the fishing. They left behind the tax collecting. So they had to say, well, I'm going to trust Jesus to provide for my daily needs, for my food, for my clothing. Before, when they got up in the morning, they decided what they were going to do. Now, they turn to the Lord Jesus and they say, well, what are we doing today? Where are we going today? They trusted him to decide what to do. They trusted him to decide what was best for them. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus. That he's in control and you do what he decides. Incidentally, that doesn't mean that Christians never have any responsibilities of their own, never have to make a decisions. Very often the Lord Jesus says, you decide in this situation. You know what my rules are. You know what I do. Go away and do what I would do. But you're not free to go off and do something different from what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. So let's ask ourselves then, in practice, if I'm a Christian, if I'm going to follow Jesus, if I'm going to trust him, what's that going to mean for me in practice? What's that going to mean for my life? That's a sensible question to ask, isn't it? If you're going to follow someone, if you're going to adopt a particular way of life, you want to know what it involves, what it's going to mean, whether it's a sensible thing to do. But there's one sense in which we have to say that following Jesus is something that you can't know what it'll mean. When you follow the Lord Jesus, he doesn't tell you everything that's going to happen in your life. In one sense, you are following him into the unknown. If you knew exactly what was going to happen, you wouldn't need to trust him, would you? So when you set out as a Christian, you don't know whether he's going to give you a home and a family, or he's going to call you to a life of singleness. You don't know whether you're going to have to work in secular employment or in full-time Christian ministry. You don't know if he's going to give you good, unbounding health or crippling disability. You know, those are areas where you simply have to trust him. But having said that, Jesus doesn't call us to a blind trust. He very honestly lays out before you what following him is going to mean. And the reason we know what it's going to mean is because we are told to follow him. We are actually walking a path that he's already walked. So what we can do is we can look at what the life of the Lord Jesus was like. We can see what he did, the way he lived. And we can say, well, if that's the way the Lord Jesus lived, if that's what he did, well, if we're going to follow him, then we're going to have to do the same things that he did, live in the same way that he did. So it's not a blind trust. We're not following him totally into the unknown. We're following someone we can see what his life is like. We can see what he's going to ask of us. If you like, it's just like two people getting married. You know, when you get married, you don't know what your life's going to be like. You don't know where you're going to live, how many children you're going to have, what the experience of your life is going to be. But you say, well, I know that other person. I know that I can trust him or her. I know that this is someone who I can live my life with. Well, the Lord Jesus shows us what his life is like. He shows us what he's like. He shows us that he's trustworthy. He's someone that we can follow. And he invites you, he commands you to give up your own ambitions, to give up the things that you want from your life, and to follow him, to go after him. But he wants you to know what that will mean. He wants you to know what the costs will be, and he wants you to know what the rewards will be. He's absolutely straight and honest with you. So let's list out some of the things that following Jesus will certainly mean. So the first one is this. Following Jesus means following his obedience and way of life. Following Jesus means following his obedience and way of life. I think everyone here has read the Gospels, and you're familiar with what Jesus' life was like here on earth. Well, if you're serious about following Jesus, then sit down and read them again and see what it will mean. Following Jesus is going to mean keeping a close relationship with your Father in heaven, because that's what Jesus did. You read about him rising early in the morning to pray and to spend time with his Father. You see how familiar he was with the scriptures, how well he knew them, how much time he'd spent thinking about them and understanding them. Well, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to want to have the same interest in God's words. You're going to want to have the same desire to pray and to speak to the Father as the Lord Jesus did. and to maintain that relationship, to know the Father in that way, means you're going to have to give time and energy to it. That means you're going to have to get up in early in the morning like the Lord Jesus did, or put aside time later in the day that nothing can interrupt. It might mean giving up pastimes or things that you'd other things you'd have spent that time on, to make sure you have time to spend with God. You know too about Jesus' moral purity. You know how he refused to ever lie or compromise. You know his hatred of anything sordid or dirty or dishonest. Well then, you know that following him will mean loving goodness and truth and righteousness. And it'll mean fighting to stamp out sins in your own lives. You know, it'll mean living a life of purity and holiness. That's following Jesus. You know about Jesus' care and compassion for people in trouble, his love to other people. Well, you know that following him is going to mean showing the same unselfish care for people, especially the people that no one else wants to bother with, people who've caused their own problems. You know, it's going to mean getting your hands dirty and spending your own time and money for people, some of whom even won't thank you. And you know that following the Lord Jesus will mean loving your enemies, people who treat you with contempt and malice, people you really don't like, because that's what Jesus did. And you know that following Jesus will mean following him in baptism, in that outward declaration you want to be joined to him and follow him, because that's what he did. He declared his oneness with those repenting and being baptized by John, by being baptized himself. All those things and many others. Following Jesus will mean following his obedience and his way of life. So that's our first thing. Our second point is that following Jesus will mean being willing to give up everything and anything. Following Jesus means being willing to give up everything and anything. You know, for 30 years, Jesus enjoyed home and family life. He had a regular job as the village carpenter. He had a place where he belonged, where everyone knew him. But the day came when he had to give all of that up. When he had to leave home, he had to leave that work, and he set out preaching. So if you follow Jesus, you must be ready to do that. It won't necessarily mean having nothing. It wasn't that Jesus had nothing. He enjoyed a home and family for all those years. But then the time came when it was right for him to give those things up. So if you're going to follow him, you must be ready to give things up. And that will mean different things for different people. Do you remember the time a rich young ruler came and fell on his knees before Jesus? And he asked what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus could see what this man was like. He could see that he had a covetous heart. He could see that wealth was more important to him than anything else. And he said to him, "One thing you lack. Go, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come, follow me." But yet other rich men who followed Jesus weren't called to sell everything they had to rid themselves of their wealth. They were called to use it wisely for the sake of others. But both the young man and the men who were allowed to keep their wealth needed to be ready to give it all up. Different Christians are asked to give up different things. But the fact is that every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ will have to give up, not just a little, but a lot. We read in Matthew's Gospel, didn't we? Jesus' words, very serious words, to his followers. He said this. This is Matthew 16:24. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Well, denying yourself implies that you are going to miss out on things that you would have liked to have had. Jesus says this, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, that means if you follow the Lord Jesus, you are going to lose your life, i.e. the life that you would have chosen for yourself, the things that you wanted to do. So I can't tell you how much you're going to miss out on, how much the Lord Jesus will ask you to give up if you're going to follow him. But you need to be ready to give up anything and everything. Remember where the Lord Jesus' life ended. The Lord Jesus' life ended naked on a cross with absolutely nothing. We need to be ready to follow him even there. Losing your life could mean losing your life, dying. The third thing we see is that following Jesus means suffering. Following Jesus means suffering. And again, the degree of suffering will vary from one believer to another. We're not told when we set out how bad the suffering will be, how long the suffering will go on for. But one thing is certain, that no real believer can avoid suffering, because that's what following Jesus means, because he suffered. We read this verse earlier from 1 Peter chapter 2. Think about what it means. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It's clear what Peter's talking about, isn't it? The steps that we're following Jesus in are steps of suffering. Again, in the passage we read in Matthew 16, we read what Jesus said. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. Well, when he talks about taking up a cross, he's talking about voluntarily accepting suffering. He's not telling you to do that because you want to be hurt, because you want pain, but because there's no other way you can follow the Lord Jesus. We can't just pick and choose bits of Jesus' life to follow. It has to be all or nothing. We can't say, well, I'd like to follow the Lord Jesus in living a pure life, and I'd like to be kind to my family, but I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be kind to my enemies. I wouldn't be following him, would it? I would be doing what you want, picking and choosing the bits of his life that you like. But following means following every step, all or nothing. So that's the first three things. Following Jesus means obeying, following his obedience and way of life. It means following him and being willing to give up everything and anything. And following Jesus means suffering. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, this doesn't sound so good. Is it going to be worth following Jesus if he leads me to only suffering and loss and self-denial? Is it worth it? Well, I've set out the negatives first. the hard things first. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what he does here in verse 16. So in Matthew 16. But that's not where he stops, is it? What does Jesus go on to say? Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. He says, if you lose your life, if you follow him, if you're prepared to give up everything, then actually you're going to find your life. On another occasion, Peter said to him, we've left all we had to follow you. You know what Jesus replied to Peter? He said this, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. So following Jesus means something in this life and also in the age to come, eternal life. So our fourth point is following Jesus means glorious privileges in this world. Many times more than anything you might have given up to follow him. That's what Jesus says. Anyone who's left home or wife or brothers or parents or children, no one of those people will fail to receive many times as much in this age. Well, what are those privileges that Christians, that followers of the Lord Jesus, receive in this life? Well, let's list some of them out. Followers of the Lord Jesus become part of God's family. They are adopted as his sons. They are loved by God himself. Why? Because the Lord Jesus himself is God's son. And when we follow the Lord Jesus, we are following him into his family. And believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are part of the church, God's people here on earth. And when you become part of the church, then people not just here, but all over the world, become your brothers and sisters, your fathers and your mothers. And in a couple of weeks' time, I'll be going to Maastricht in the Netherlands. And the only people I know in Maastricht won't actually be there. But they're arranging for someone from their church to pick me up and take me to their church. And I hope translate the service into English for me. They said they might. So I'm going to meet brothers and sisters that I never knew I had before. Well, why are those people willing to pick me up, someone they don't know, and welcome me into their church? Well, it's because they're the Lord Jesus' own brothers and sisters. And it's a wonderful privilege, isn't it? We have brothers and sisters all over the world. And there's more. Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus, are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God himself comes and dwells within you. Well, why does that happen? It happens because the Lord Jesus himself was filled with God's Holy Spirit. And we've become followers of the Lord Jesus. Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus, become sanctified. They are made holy and pure. They're given the power to fight and defeat sin. Because the Lord Jesus is pure and holy. And if we're going to follow him, we need to be pure and holy. So he gives us the power to become pure and holy. He doesn't just forgive our sins, but he changes our lives. Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The people who are going to walk in the light. And there's something else we have here in this world. There's probably many more things, but these are the things I've picked out. We have absolute assurance and certainty as to our futures. Because if you're following the Lord Jesus, you can see where the Lord Jesus' path led him. And we know that we are following him there. We're following him to glory. You know, some of those disciples who heard Jesus say those solemn words had an awesome privilege just 6 days later. That's why we read on into Matthew 17. Peter and James and John saw the Lord Jesus shining with glory. They heard him speaking to Moses and Elijah. And they heard the voice of God speaking to them from heaven. And that was something they never forgot. Years later, Peter wrote, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." In that moment, those disciples glimpsed where following Jesus would lead them. It was going to lead them to the glory that the Lord Jesus had in that moment, the glory which belongs to him now in heaven. And that brings us to our final point, that following Jesus means resurrection and glorification, eternal life and everlasting joy. Let me say that again, because it's a wonderful thing to say, isn't it? Following Jesus means resurrection, glorification, eternal life and everlasting joy. Followers of the Lord Jesus are going to be raised to life forever. Not just their souls, but bodies and souls together. Because that's what happened to the Lord Jesus. He walked out of the grave on the third day, never to die again. And we're going to follow him through that experience. Yes, through death, unless he comes again before we die. But then to resurrection and life forever. And we're going to sit with the Lord Jesus, enjoying glory and joy, because that's what the Lord Jesus is enjoying now. This is what the writer to the Hebrew tells us. He says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Lord Jesus, we're told, endured the sufferings of the cross because he knew what the joy was that was set before him. Well, we're following in his footsteps, and we're told to consider him. Consider the Lord Jesus. Look at the path he walked. Look at where he is now, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And for his people, for his followers, that's where we're going to be with him. So following Jesus, yes, it's a life following his obedience and way of life. Following Jesus means being willing to give up everything and anything. Following Jesus means suffering. Going to be a life of denying yourself, of trials and difficulties, of suffering and pain. Not all those things are negative though, are they? I don't think obeying Jesus and living a life of purity and holiness might be difficult, but it's a wonderful life. But some of those things, yes, they are difficult, they are hard, they will be painful. And we need to look at the scales, don't we? And we need to put those things down on one side of the scales. But then we need to look at what the rest of following the Lord Jesus means. It means glorious privileges in this world. It means being part of God's family. It means being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It means being sanctified and made pure and holy. It means being absolutely sure as to the future and what you're going to enjoy. Those are just tastes. They're just small tastes of the world to come and of what it's going to mean to have resurrection and to be glorified and have eternal life and everlasting joy. To have freedom from pain for all eternity. Jesus says, follow me. He says, give up your own life. Give up your selfishness. Give up your poverty, because in the end, a life lived in this world for yourself is a poor life. It's a feeble life. It's a selfish life. He says, give those things up. He says, follow me. He says, yes, the journey will be hard. I'm not pretending it'll be anything else. But he says, the rewards on the journey and when we reach the destination are awesome beyond words. He says, yes, do the equation. Put those two things on either side of the scales. But it's obvious, isn't it? Which is better? What did Paul say? We read those words earlier. He said, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Why wait? Why do you need to think any longer? Why not follow the Lord Jesus now?